Welcome to Opening Presents. My name is Aaron Robinson. We are at the 19th hour. It is 6:23 p.m. Sunday evening. I am in the studio, the Flower Factory, upper loft quarters, taking a break from my painting. And we're here with another solo cast because I, one, realized like how much time and energy it is to schedule podcasts and coordinate time and do all that kind of stuff. And I just don't got the energy for it right now. And another thing is to kind of put my ideas and my thought processes to the test and to see if I can come up with cohesive sentences and points of view just from my personhood. So here we are. Huge shout out to everybody that submitted a question for our first ever opening presents Q&A. I really appreciate y'all taking the time. It means a lot that y'all engaged with me because I truly believe that this is a reciprocal thing, and this is our podcast, not just mine. So I wrote down a couple of things that I wanted to talk about, and we'll just like see where it goes. So I guess it's like one of those things where I've been talking about kind of the same things in these podcasts, and hopefully some of the different alleyways and corners that we kind of arrive at kind of highlight new perspective on commonly known or felt things that we experience in all of our lives. It's like an onion just peeling back layers and layers. And a lot of the questions that were asked, it was funny because like after I like did that Q&A, like I was ruminating on some of the questions, and I was like, oh, I want to add this to it. I want to add that to it. Like, that's not exactly what I wanted to say. And I was like, no. Like, leave that there because that's exactly what you felt in that moment. And we have the rest of our lives to iterate on the topics that mean things to us or mean something to us, because it's not this stagnant thing. And getting comfortable with allowing things to grow and evolve over time and kind of expect it. That's something that I'm feeling now, is just like knowing that I'm going to change. So I don't have any sort of clinginess towards getting things right or having to have things a certain way. In any particular moment, is just like, all right, how much does this really need of me in this instance? And can I take less responsibility for how the way things like kind of unfold? And I don't want to say like not being accountable, but just take less of the brunt of responsibility moving forward. Hopefully I can expand and make that kind of make sense. So the first thing that I wrote down was empath. I think I'm finally coming into the place of truly understanding how sensitive I am and how much I take on emotionally from people and situations, and really like throw myself into the blender per se of like everything. And it's a very dangerous and reckless way of being, to be like full on empathic mode of like, I gotta feel everything to the core, and realizing that it's like, it's not my responsibility to like right every wrong in the world. And at least in this season, I felt like I can kind of let go of that responsibility and like let things kind of unfold on their own, and only engage in things that are truly calling for me to participate with them. So I've kind of like, through like breath work and meditation and cultivating like my inner condition and enacting boundaries, I've created sort of like this healthy detachment, and just allowing and just sitting back and just letting things kind of unfold and seeing like, oh, like I didn't even need to be a part of that conversation, or I didn't need to be a part of that thing, and I don't have to identify and become emotionally entangled with things, and I can still care and I can still have a preference on how certain things unfold, but as far as to the point where it's going to affect me emotionally and put me in a dysregulated position, I'm not willing to sacrifice that anymore. Or at least I've had some experiences where when I maintain control and I don't take the opportunity to surrender my somatic autonomy, then I realize that I come out the other side whole, not dysregulated, and completely fine. I'm like, oh, this is a much healthier way to engage with life, is to not completely throw myself into things that don't really need me. Because like I said, like my nature is to throw all of myself into things that aren't necessarily mine to be involved with. So yeah, I think piggybacking off of last week's episode was like how vigilant I have to be to avoid conflicts and to truly discern whether or not I need to be in it, because it has the power to really, really throw me off for like long periods of time. So that awareness is key for me, especially in this time, and trusting that I have like a safe space. Like I'm safe within my body, and the external world things can be resolved without me. Like I don't need to be thinking about like the World Cup in Qatar and like how Qatar is oppressing their people and all of these news cycle things. I'm like, I just don't even bother me with any of it, because I have zero opinion on any of it, because I think feeling safe and in the driver's seat in my body means more to me than being perceived as someone with the heart. I already know I got a heart, so I don't need other people to know that I care about X, Y, and Z, unless like my work or the people that I'm with want to have that type of discussion and we can dive into those things. But just generally speaking, there's too many things in the world to be outraged with, and you kind of have to pick your battles. And I've clearly taken that stance of I'm just going to create beauty and connection for the people who are listening. Thanks for listening. The next thing that I wrote down was, ooh, I got a notification. The next thing I wrote down was seasonal expression, which is a topic or a concept that I wrote down on my whiteboard a couple of weeks ago, that kind of delves around like simplifying things. Seasonal expression, which is obviously like inspired by the Portland topic of seasonal depression. I've had depression before in my life, and I think it was mostly like when I was in college. Like I was kind of just like not happy at all, and like didn't have really fulfilling relationships, and I felt like I was just kind of doing what was expected of me and just didn't fit in. Felt like I was going contrary to what my higher self knew what I was capable of, but I was just kind of settling and just getting a degree because I was supposed to get a degree. But I've dealt with depression and in those instances, and it so, but I don't have it like clinically diagnosed or anything like that. So I definitely have empathy for people who do struggle with depression. I don't act like I know what it truly feels like to struggle with it, especially in this day and age. It's been a while since I've kind of been in that that place. But using that term and flipping it around, I hope that it can help one create a simplified framework as to not think that they have to fix all the world's problems and consider every single thing in the world. It's like it's not your responsibility. You don't have to do those things. And I think instead of thinking about like the looming seasonal depression and kind of like, oh, it's dark and I'm gonna let the weather determine how I feel about myself, which is like kind of short-sighted. I'm going to decide on a few things, 2 to 3 things that I'm just gonna put all of my energy into, and anything that exists outside of that triangle or outside of those few number of things, I'm just not going to spend a lot of time on thinking on. It's like I can just stay in this little pocket. So for me, my seasonal expression is 1, working out, 2, making art, and 3, rest. And anything that exists outside of those things, I don't have to fully invest time and energy into. Obviously, like not being reckless, and there's always like rules that we can set for ourselves. Everyone has a different life, but I'm saying like emotional investment, we can simplify, and that's what seasonal expression is. So working out for me is probably like the most important thing. It's to offload this bottled up energy that kind of spreads to the mind when it doesn't get expelled through the body. So I realized like, oh, this is like really, really important for my health. Like working out as far as longevity, how I feel about myself, truly like my health, like it's the number one most important thing for me. So I put that as number one. 2 is making my art. So over the last like month and a half, 2 months, I've just been on a painting rampage. Like the standard or typical mode of working freelance has kind of slowed down. People are with their families, like people are out of the office, like their away messages are on their emails, like all of that kind of stuff. So I'm not going to like sit around my computer and pretend to like have shit to do that is like quote unquote like productive. It's like I have like the people that I'm working with, like we have our timeline on things. There's some things that need to be scheduled here and there, yada yada, but like I'm not going to like sit around and pretend to send emails. So I'm just up in the studio loft, just like painting, and I haven't painted in 2 years. So it's been a great resurgence of this childlike creative energy that's always been a part of me, and to express myself and use colors and be in front of colors and see colors and allow them to affect me and kind of mold my perspective of just seeing brightness. Like you go outside and it's all dark and gloomy, but it's like when you're sitting in front of like a bright orange canvas and having electric blue and like yellows and greens and mixing colors, it's like, I think it's like programming my internal software or whatever, you know, I just make up shit as I go, but I'm molding how I see the world. I see the world as bright and colorful, even though I step outside, it doesn't look like that. But we can kind of be the palette generator of our internal world. So that's been really important, making things colorful and bright and creating and allowing these experiences that have gathered over time to be expressed on canvas. So it's been extremely therapeutic. So that's 2 back-to-back therapeutic things. It's working out, purging the stagnant energy, getting out of the mind and into the body, making sure that I'm breathing fully and really, really connecting with the body. I think I'm the most embodied I've ever felt. Coupled with like taking Ion gut support, it's something that I've been taking for probably like a good month now, but realizing that like, oh, like this is what a new level of embodiment that I haven't experienced before. And just taking care of myself, investing in my health and my wellness, and just putting myself first. That's it. That's all I've been into, is putting myself absolutely front of the line, no matter what. If there's an event or something, like I just missed my friend Nico's birthday yesterday, but it's like, it's not a big deal. Like you can miss people's things. It's like, you don't have to show up to everything. And the last thing is rest. If I feel like taking a nap, I'm going to go take a nap. Obviously, this isn't like a all year round type of thing, but I feel like during this particular part of the year, it's extremely important to hyper prioritize embodiment. And how do we go about that? And with that, it's simplifying, coming down to what is our seasonal expression. So for the next couple of weeks, at least just write a couple of things down that you're going to hyper prioritize and just try it out. Let me know how it is, though. I'm just trying things out and hoping that they work and just learning as we go. And then the last thing before I end this podcast, and afterwards, I think I might add like a, I'll save that for another time. So I sold a painting. I sold a freaking painting. Shout out to Aaron and Eric Boderick, who I've been friends with Eric on Instagram for like a couple of years now, and he's somebody who has always reached out. We both have San Diego in common, so whether like the Padres are going to the playoffs or Chargers did something or whatever, like Eric's kind of been around and just reached out. We've had like a couple of conversations here and there, and he's an amazing musician, makes beats, has a beautiful family. And one day, like I've been just painting for like, I don't know, like I finished my last painting like a couple weeks ago, but he hit me up out of the blue and was just like, yo, like, is that painting for sale? And I said, yeah. And he asked me how much it was. I told him the price. And then he was like, oh, I'm going to ask my wife if we can get it. And I was just like, okay, for sure. If you're a painter, an artist, you kind of know how it goes. Like a lot of people will reach out about like your work. And a lot of the times, like there's just zero follow-up where it's just out of budget and people don't really kind of realize how much work goes into a painting. It's basically like imagine working full-time for like a month and then like getting paid $200. Like that's kind of what people expect of you when you're an artist or a fine artist or whatever. But this is like 10, 20 hours on like a piece, just because it doesn't look like miserable or labor, it doesn't mean that it loses its value. But anyways, that's just kind of my little rant on art in general and people's perception of it. So yeah, Eric reached out, and then like a couple of days ago, meaning yesterday, he asked me, he hit me up and was like, hey, like wifey says that it's all good and we're down to come pick it up. So I was like, oh, bet. So Aaron, his wife, and Eric came to the studio, and this was the first time that we met. Gave them a tour of the flower factory, talked about the work, and showed them the space that I created it in, and like the story of finding my style, which was when I was like around 25, 26. Like I've always grown up doing art. Like my friend Ariel Diaz, who's an amazing artist in New York City, his dad came into my first grade class and showed this book called Smoky Nights, where he did the illustration. So if you look up Smoky Nights, it's kind of like a kid's book with like his distinct style. And from that point, like me and Ariel became friends, and I've always been around like his place, like as he's doing paintings, like amazing artist, like probably one of my favorite artists. But I've always been around him, and I've always painted and drawn and kind of mimicked other people's styles. Like I loved graffiti growing up. I liked cartoon drawing and like little figures and all that kind of stuff. And I felt like I was always like trying to copy or do a rendition of someone else's style when it came to art. And when I was 25, I was living in Oceanside. I had a big pool table, or not a pool table, a ping pong table. And I had gotten a canvas, and I decided to spray paint it like this light blue, like a sky blue. And then I created like a little purple planet with like little growth, like little plants coming out of it. And then I started painting like flying cars. And I was like, oh, like this is like its own little world. And I finally like found my own unique style that nobody else was doing. And that was like the biggest like moment for me as like a visual artist, was like, oh shit, like this is my lane. Like I don't have to like try to copy anybody else anymore. I can just stay here and like keep cultivating and growing on this design language over time. And that's the same style that I have today. So it's just evolved over time, like for the last, like, what, 8 years now, I've been painting in the same style and kind of expanding upon it. And to see it here today and that it resonates with somebody is something that I'm, like, eternally grateful for. Like, a piece of me, like, the deepest, deepest parts of me, of my soul, are being expressed out on a canvas in color and shape. And the fact that it, like, resonates with somebody in its own, in their own specific way. It's not my relationship at that point. It's like, it's literally like how somebody, how it makes somebody feel, enough to that they want to have it be with their family. I'm like, holy shit. Like that is like an amazing, amazing thing that I can't even fully grasp and verbalize, the importance and how honored I feel that, like, their kid is going to be, like, viewing this work, and over time, like, this work affects and changes, like, our physiology and our, in the way that we relate to ourselves. It's just like music, how music has the power to make you feel and change and become emotional. The art has the same exact thing. Like, it radiates and it changes us. And I think that's kind of what I was trying to allude to. Like, while I'm painting, it's like, the work is affecting me as I'm communicating with the work and intuitively making colors and shapes and composition in real time. It's a real back and forth, ebb and flow conversation. And the fact that this conversation gets to continue and live with a family as they live in this slightly overcast, more often than not, city. And to have those bright colors affect them, like, moving through their daily life and the intentions that are behind it. I don't know. I'm grateful. I may be rambling, but it's just a beautiful thing to be able to share my work and to know that it's resonating with people. So yeah, I'm happy about that. And the inner child lives on, baby. My name is Aaron Robinson, and thank you all for listening to Opening Presence.